Welcome to the podcast series for HAP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Carrie Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Domeyer et al. Titled, Dantrolene Suppresses Spontaneous Calcium Release Without Altering Excitation-Contraction Coupling in Cardiomyocytes of Aged Mice. This article published in our September 15th issue. My guests today are Editor-in-Chief Irving Zucker, lead author Timothy Domeyer, and expert Eric Sobey. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. And thank you, Tim and Eric, for joining in this podcast today. Unfortunately, time marches on, and the aging process takes its toll on organ function. And this is especially true in the heart. The effects of aging on excitation-contraction coupling in the myocardium have been studied by many investigators over a number of years. Myocardial dysfunction in aging hearts is characterized by a reduction in diastolic function that may be the consequences of either changes in extracellular matrix or, as in the current study, alterations in calcium release and/or reuptake. In order to effectively treat the aging heart, we need to know more concerning calcium handling mechanisms. To this end, in the present study, the effects of the ryanodine type 1 receptor inhibitor, dantrolene, on myocyte release was examined in young and aged hearts. Tim, would you briefly tell our listeners why the study was undertaken, how it was conducted, and what the main results show?
Thanks for the introduction, Irv. As you mentioned, altered calcium homeostasis is associated with advancing age, and altered intracellular calcium release through the ryanodine receptor certainly can contribute to cardiac dysfunction. So we were looking for a way to pharmacologically restore the proper function of the ryanodine receptor with advancing age. Recent data in various animal models of cardiac disease have shown that the skeletal muscle type 1 ryanodine receptor inhibitor, dantrolene, can bind to and stabilize dysfunctional cardiac ryanodine receptors. I should mention that this is a rather unusual finding because the type 2 ryanodine receptor is expressed in the heart, and this type is purported to be dantrolene insensitive. So the purpose of this study was to examine if ryanodine receptor-mediated calcium release in the aged heart was altered by dantrolene. For this purpose, we utilized left ventricular cardiac myocytes isolated from 3 and 24-month-old C57BL/6 mice in combination with calcium indicator dyes to examine various modes of ryanodine receptor-mediated calcium release, including calcium release in response to excitation-contraction coupling. This we would consider a form of systolic calcium release, and also calcium release that happens during diastole in the form of calcium sparks and calcium waves. What we found was that dantrolene did not affect any of the parameters we monitored during excitation-contraction coupling. This is a good thing because we don't want to alter excitation-contraction coupling or the heart won't beat. However, dantrolene prevented diastolic modes of calcium release in the form of calcium sparks and calcium waves, and it did so only in the myocytes isolated from the old animals. Because these forms of spontaneous calcium release are considered pro-arrhythmic, we interpret this as being a protective effect on the aged heart.
Thanks, Tim. That was a nice summary. Eric, you've been working in the area of ryanodine receptor release and function. Could you comment on the regulatory mechanisms that control ryanodine receptor calcium release, and what are the molecular and cellular mechanisms that are thought to be at play here?
That's a challenging question because it's a very complex system, and that's what makes calcium release in heart cells fascinating to study, but that's also what makes it difficult to study. When you are examining a new model of pathology, sometimes you see a defect in calcium entry through calcium channels in the cell membrane. You might see a defect in calcium removal from the cell, usually through the sodium calcium exchanger. You can see a defect in calcium uptake into the sarcoplasmic reticulum through the so-called circapump. Or you can see a defect in the release channels themselves. These are the ryanodine receptors that Tim was just talking about. And often many things go wrong at the same time, and that's what makes it very difficult to uncover the underlying mechanisms and figure out exactly where the defect is. And one of the things I really liked about Tim's study is that they were really able to narrow it down and to show, as he indicated, that the aged cardiac myocytes aren't defective in many, many different ways. It appears that they're defective primarily in their ryanodine receptors. That's a clear defect that they have. just in the rhinitine receptors and not in all the other processes that contribute. So because they did a lot of all the proper controls, and because their study was well designed, that allowed them to really narrow it down.
Right. So Tim, I wonder if you can put this into a larger contextual framework in terms of how the results of this study might impact, for instance, not only diastolic function, but arrhythmia formation, such as reentry and other types of cardiac arrhythmias that may increase with age.
Yeah, that's a good question. And there's two parts to that question. One is about the myocardial performance, for instance, diastolic dysfunction, which is the primary concern with older individuals. And the other one is the arrhythmia aspect of the aged heart. Now, certainly with arrhythmogenesis, it's well established that excessive ryanidine receptor activity can contribute to arrhythmia in the heart. And as I mentioned, we do know that the aged heart does exhibit arrhythmic activity. So from the arrhythmia point of view, our findings suggest that dantrolene should act as a very effective antiarrhythmic agent, and it should do so without compromising systolic function. Now, when you talk about diastolic dysfunction, which is a primary abnormality in the aged heart, that's a little less clear where the ryanidine receptor will fit in. As Eric mentioned earlier, there's a lot of calcium handling abnormalities that occur in the aged heart. And with diastolic dysfunction, we typically focus on abnormalities in impaired calcium reuptake, and that would be via the Circa pump. But certainly, if we're leaking calcium through the ryanidine receptors during diastole, that could also elevate diastolic calcium and contribute to diastolic dysfunction. So now that we know that the aged heart is sensitive to dantrolene and we can prevent diastolic calcium release, we can test this in vivo and we can apply dantrolene to animals and see if this actually improves diastolic dysfunction in the heart. If this actually occurs, this would suggest that ryanidine receptor mediated calcium release can also contribute to diastolic dysfunction. And that would certainly be of clinical value due to so many of these patients having this abnormality.
Thanks, Tim. Let me throw out one idea or one question that either of you can chime in on, and that is the role of reactive oxygen species in the aging heart and how that might participate in the modification of the ryanidine receptor and whether or not the technique that you used, Tim, dantrolene, may have an effect on either mitochondrial ROS or extracellular ROS. Any comments from either of you about that?
That's a really good question, and one of the nice parts about Eric's introduction was that this is a very complicated ryanidine receptor macromolecular signaling complex, and there are so many ways that this is regulated, and reactive oxygen species modification of the ryanidine receptor is certainly one of them. So it makes a lot of sense that given the fact that the cardiac myocytes exhibit higher oxidative stress, they might be modified, and this could contribute to some of the, for instance, unfolding of the ryanidine receptor that may trigger it to be leaky. Now, as far as experimental evidence, we don't have any experimental evidence at this time to suggest that you have to unfold the ryanidine receptor with reactive oxygen species for it to be dantrolene sensitive, and we don't know if dantrolene can correct reactive oxygen species modification of the ryanidine receptor. But that would be a great future study.
Eric, any comment?
I would just chime in to say that, yeah, that was my thought was the same as yours, Irv, that looking at the mitochondria and looking at the reactive oxygen species is probably the most, you know, logical place to look, either for Tim's group or for some other group. And I think one of the things I liked about this study is that Tim was fair to note that they didn't have direct evidence that this is an oxidative effect. But I do think because they looked at their cells with and without isoproterenol, it's probably not a phosphorylation defect, and there's certainly been a lot of attention paid to phosphorylation of the ryanidine receptor. So I would think that, you know, indirectly at least, it's probably more likely to be through the mitochondria, through reactive oxygen species, also because of what we know about how mitochondria may become defective with aging. So that certainly does look like the next place to look. And even if dantrolene isn't going to correct the reactive oxygen species themselves, if dantrolene really is just affecting the ryanidine receptor, it might have the beneficial effect of at least making it so that the ryanidine receptors don't respond improperly to the reactive oxygen species that are still there. Tim, one of the things I really liked about your study is that you were able to examine things, you know, very mechanistically at the cellular level. But of course, if we want to understand arrhythmias in animals and ultimately in people, we have to think about how things translate to the organ level and in the intact animal. So have you thought about what would be the next steps in terms of really understanding arrhythmia mechanisms within the whole heart?
Eric, that's a really good question, and that's one of the things that we're excited about in the lab, is that because we now know that the ryanodine receptor in the aged heart is sensitive to dantrolene, we can apply this in vivo to animals and see how cardiac function changes, to see if there's either a reduction in the arrhythmia of the animals or if cardiac function, more specifically, the relaxation of the heart improves. And if cardiac relaxation improves, that would be a significant clue that ryanodine receptor-mediated calcium release may contribute to diastolic calcium elevation and diastolic dysfunction in elderly people.
I think this was a great discussion and covered a really well-done study. Clearly, we still have a lot to learn about the aging process, especially in the heart, and I think this podcast hopefully gives more food for thought. So thank you very much, for both of you, for participating. Kara, back to you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.